is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Let's talk fantasy football. Fantasy Football Today, everybody. Welcome to the show on Wednesday, November 9th. Adam, Dave, Jamie Heath here. We'll take your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. You know, I don't give out the Twitter handles very often, so I'm going to do that. At Dave Richard, at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y, at Heath Cummings Sr., S-R, at Heath Cummings S-R, at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. Good morning, guys. How we
Yo.
Doing?
How are you?
A little tired.
Great.
We're going to talk sports. It's going to be fun. Buy low, sell high. Trade deadlines are approaching. We have a, you know, it was a pretty close game between the Ravens and the Browns in week two, so hopefully we get that on Thursday. We'll preview that game, and you know, we'll have some fun. I do want to read the tweet of the day, though. You know, a lot of people kind of just tired of all the election stuff, and they feel like this. Joshua says, "I feel sick this morning. I'm starting Flacco and Tannehill in a two quarterback league this week. Beat that." Those are problems right there.
I had so much fun dropping Nick Foles from my lineup last week. I had to use him as a bye week replacement.
Mm-hmm. Ew.
Yeah. So hopefully this is just like a 1 week dealy for him.
The bad problem for me this morning is I woke up and I still had Anton Smith on like half my rosters because I missed everybody in the waiver.
You tried to cut him and you couldn't get anybody.
Yep.
I'm still holding Nick Foles in our two quarterback league because I have Alex Smith. So I'm just going to wait and see. make sure Smith is cleared.
There you go.
Yeah, it was, I guess we talked on the waiver wire show yesterday, and I was trying to make this optimistic case about how, we have these really good players that, for stashing anyway. And unfortunately, most of them were owned in every league I'm in. So, it was kind of an ugly, uneventful waiver wire night for me. How about for you guys?
I managed to get Jay Cutler in every league that I had Andrew Luck. In one of the leagues, I had to cut my kicker. So I've got an illegal lineup. I have to make a trade or drop somebody off my bench to get a kicker for the game this week.
I think I was able to get a defense or two. I got Capri Bibbs in one league. It was uneventful.
Cool.
I put in a big offer on the Ravens, or a big fab on the Ravens DST. I got to check to see if I got him.
In fairness, I don't really know who I put in claims for because I completely forgot to make claims until about 11:30 last night. And
Why were you occupied? Didn't get him.
And then I just made a lot of claims, I think, on my phone after several, I found a new beer last night.
Holy crap.
Arrogant Bastard Ale.
How much do you think I'm in a 12 team, two flex league, half point PPR. What do you think it's a $300 budget, but we're in week 10, so everybody spent a lot of their budget. How much do you think the Ravens DST went for in this league?
Three
from Heath.
How much?
Everybody listening at home, make a guess.
200, you said?
300.
300? Eight.
Eight from Adam, Jamie.
51.
44.
Oh my gosh.
$44 for the Ravens DST. I think my bid was like nine, thinking, oh, there's no way anybody's going to bid more than that. Peyton Barber went for 61 in this league.
Oof.
Good lordy, lordy.
Now, the Ravens DST, they are, I think, number seven overall this year. They actually have a pretty good defense. Each of the last 2 weeks, they've scored a touchdown, so they'll try to make that three in a row. But so far, it's been a good DST. They're second for Dave and Jamie this week. They are fourth for Heath. There is a DST that might be available, 66% owned, I believe, in CBSSports.com leagues. I got an email from Josh in Riverbank, California. He alerted me to the greatness of the upcoming schedule for the New England Patriots DST. They have the Seahawks at home, Seahawks on a short week. Now, I don't know that it's a great matchup for them, whatever, but after that, they've got the three worst teams in fantasy in terms of fantasy points allowed to opposing DSTs: San Francisco, the Jets, and the Rams. And then in week 16, the Patriots have the Jets at home. So if the Patriots DST is out there, you might want to pick them up, not just for this week, but for the next three following week 10. Jamie, anything you want to add on the waiver wire? We can look at the most added list. The most added player, I believe, is Capri Bibbs. He is now 38% owned. Peyton Barber, 57% owned. Definitely going to be some unusual running backs in play this week.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So who are the ones that, you know, as you've done your rankings, that stand out that fantasy owners should consider starting this week?
DeJuan
Harris, Peyton Barber, Capri Bibbs. These are some of the guys on the most added list.
I don't know if you're starting any of these guys unless you're stuck. Barber and Harris would be the two. I don't think anybody's going to start Bibbs unless we get clarity that Booker's sitting or being benched. It's going to be the same uncertainty of Ingram and Hightower, but I don't think to the same level because Booker played the whole game as opposed to where Ingram was benched.
82% of the snaps for Booker.
Okay. And then we've got Chandler Catanzaro actually on the most added list. Not that he's been so great this year. The Cardinals...
kicking against the Niners there.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk more about the Cardinals. Steve Smith is, I think, number 8 on the most added list. I think I'm starting him. You guys have Smith as what, a number 3 receiver?
Borderline number 2 in PPR.
Yeah, I would start him this week. He's number 2 for me.
Okay. And Rishard Matthews, DeJuan Harris, as I mentioned, some kickers, Zach Miller, J.J. Nelson, all guys that we spoke about yesterday. Chris Ivory is 67% owned. He is up 8%. He's about 15th or so on the most added list. Should Chris Ivory be owned in more than 67% of leagues?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll change after waivers run tonight.
Okay. All right, yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be relying on him. I hope you guys are playing me in the Fantasy Football Today League. I have some of my best players are Theo Riddick, Eric Ebron, Frank Gore, Dante Moncrief, Amari Cooper, and Michael Crabtree. They're all on bye. I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players on bye this week. So,
Let me see. I played Jamie this week in that league.
I play you in a bunch of leagues this week.
Yeah. You're up against Brinson. Let's see who Brinson's got on bye this week. He's 6-3.
Oh, so am I. Huge battle. Oh,
yeah.
He's going to kill you. He's going
to kill you. He has absolutely nobody on bye.
Oh, God. It sucks.
He has nobody on bye. He's got John Brown and Charkandrick West on his bench.
I think I'm playing you in the podcast league where I made the brilliant Jamal Charles and Allen Robinson for DeMarco Murray trade that's worked out so well.
You're playing me?
Yeah.
Well, we traded JJ for Mike Evans.
I gave up Allen Robinson and Jamal Charles. Remember the accidental trade?
Yeah.
I gave up Jamal Charles and Allen Robinson for DeMarco Murray and Tajay Sharp.
It has worked out for you.
It's worked out really well.
Yeah.
Funny how that works out.
I think maybe I had one more player in there too, but it wasn't somebody that's hurt me.
That was awesome.
I got really lucky.
Oops, trade on the air. All right, so Jamie doesn't love the running backs on the waiver wire this week. He does love Ben Roethlisberger. This morning, type IMing to me, Jamie is professing his Big Ben big love for Fantasy Week 10, Jamie.
A lot of big. Just the numbers that stack up for him I think are great this week. So he's our start of the week this week, and as I was writing it as I was talking to you.
Well, you got to give us some of the numbers.
Would you like me to share?
Yeah.
Okay, so Dallas' secondary has played well of late against the likes of Blaine Gabbert, Carson Wentz, and Cody Kessler.
Hey.
Those are the three quarterbacks they held below 20 fantasy points this season. Oh, and Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was the one that they were great against. However, Eli Manning, Kirk Cousins, Brian Hoyer, and Andy Dalton have all been above 20 fantasy points against them. You look at Roethlisberger at home, this is the favorite thing for me. He's averaging in three games this year, 35.3 fantasy points at home. Last year, 5 of 6 home games. One was under 25 fantasy points. It was against Cincinnati. He had 10. In 2014, in 8 games, he averaged 29 fantasy points at home. Dave brought this up the other day. He's had 2 games since 2012 that he's come off an injury and faced the team the second time. One of those, just for fun, at Dallas.
Ooh.
In 2012, second game after the Shake the Rust Off game. 23 fantasy points. He's going to light up this defense.
I was looking at it some more today because I don't like being as far off on Roethlisberger as I am. I didn't like it when I saw that Jamie had him 4th and I had him 15th. So I was trying to look at it and, I don't know, make sense of it. The beginning of the season and then the fantasy point they got to opposing quarterbacks, that did stick out to me. Especially considering it was some quarterbacks that you don't think are on Ben's level. The quarterbacks they've faced this year have averaged like 18.4 fantasy points per game. And they're giving up 17.2 or something. So maybe quarterbacks are 10% worse against them. I think the 20 to 22, 23 for Ben makes sense. So I'll probably move him up to my borderline top 12 area. I don't know if there's huge upside available just because the Cowboys are playing so slow. They dominate the ball so much. I don't know if he's going to get a huge volume of passes. So he's going to have to be exceptionally efficient to get to that 25, 30 fantasy point thing, which we really haven't seen. I mean, we've seen, what, one quarterback all year go over 23 fantasy points against him? They've had a lot, several that have got to 20, but really very few that have got had a big game, just because there's not much volume there.
Yeah. This is a 6 point per passing touchdown scoring we're talking about, by the way.
Right.
It's also second half of back-to-back road games for them, which we see tired defenses typically in that regard. Now, granted, they had an easy game last week. There have been two that have gone over. Well, actually, the only guy that was at 20 was Cousins. Eli was at 24. Hoyer was at 22. And Dalton was at 25. And I think Ben's better than all those guys, personally, especially at home.
This just feels like a Ben Roethlisberger explosion.
And you say teams don't throw the ball out against them. Well, Cousins threw 46 times.
Yeah.
Hoyer threw 49 times.
No, that's true.
Dalton threw 41 times. Rodgers threw 42 times. And
what's the lowest?
Wentz threw 43 times.
Just out of curiosity.
Eli, the lowest is Gabbert at 23.
And that's Gabbert.
Eli had a pretty low total too, right? They barely had the ball in that game.
Eli had 28 attempts.
Yeah.
You're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 9 of the 8 quarterbacks that they faced have been over 40. So
right.
I think he's going to have the ball enough. And the other thing I like about it is Tomlin said that they were conservative on purpose to protect him, which you saw a lot of third down runs, which is not very typical of Roethlisberger and the Steelers. And then when they opened the game up in the fourth quarter when they're chasing 21 points, I think that's when he started to feel a little bit more comfortable.
You could tell.
Yep.
And I also think that there may be a little different perspective on him if Coates catches that touchdown. So he throws two, and then he has the run at the end. Yep. I don't know.
It's just how bad he looked mobility-wise. That was a little... Because you're starting Roethlisberger at home, no matter what, if he's healthy. But you just got to hope that he's healthier than he was last week, because obviously he was not himself.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a track record of this. You know,
yeah.
Him, shake the rest off. Happened to him last year. He actually had over 20 points in the first game back from the injury also. But
didn't
then he came
come
back.
In like one series into a game last year that he started out on the bench?
Yeah, it was the game where Le'Veon got hurt.
But Landry Jones got, or they...
Landry Jones started the game.
And yeah.
It was
that the game you're
game.
Talking about, or the shake off the rust game?
Yeah. That was the game coming back from the injury.
Okay.
They didn't expect him to start. That's what I thought was going to actually happen this week, where they were going to start Landry Jones and then Roethlisberger would come off the bench.
Okay, guys. Let's move on. We'll talk about Roethlisberger tomorrow and with the AFC home games. I think, actually, we got a great schedule this week, I think. Kansas City at Carolina should be great. Atlanta, Philadelphia. Philadelphia is so good at home. Green Bay, Tennessee is interesting. Denver at New Orleans obviously is cool. I think Miami at San Diego is cool. The Sunday night. I hate that stupid Sunday night song. Wow.
Boo, yeah, you still decided to sing it.
No,
I'm
not. And
you sang it wrong.
It's, yeah.
Oh, Sunday night. I lost my voice.
That was better.
Thanks.
Try one more time.
No, that's all right.
No. We're
Sunday
good.
Night should be great. Dallas, Pittsburgh. This is a great week. And I think Monday will be pretty good too. We got a lot of Cam Newton questions. He's the number 16 quarterback in fantasy.
He's that high.
Yeah, two games with multiple touchdown passes. Two games with multiple touchdown passes. And I think people are going to say, what's wrong with Cam Newton? If you think it's the rushing totals that are different, you're not entirely wrong, but it's really the passing totals. And I did the math. Cam Newton averaged 7.7 fantasy points per game rushing last year. 5.4 this year. So that's 2.3 fewer. That's a lot. But if you give him 2.3 fantasy points per game over 7 games, which he's played, you give him 16 more fantasy points, he's the number 14 quarterback in fantasy. Last year he threw, 35 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He has 9 yes. touchdowns in 7 games with 6 picks. So, we're gonna talk a lot of buy low, sell high. Is Cam Newton, we said it last week that Cam Newton was a buy low and he disappointed us at the Rams. Do you still think he's a buy low?
Yes.
He's still got New Orleans, Oakland, and Atlanta in week 16 on his schedule. If you play into week 17, he's got Tampa Bay there too.
Ooh, that's awesome.
But he's also got some toughies. He's at Seattle in week 13. San Diego at home in week 14, I think, could be tough. At Washington, that's a little iffy. And then he's got Kansas City this week, and he doesn't look nearly as good of a passer as he was last year. The offensive line, I think, is a factor.
Yep.
I think the defense not playing well is definitely hurting things for Carolina. It's changing the way that teams defend them and the flow of the game. I should have said flow of the game and how teams defend them based on the flow of the game. And he's just, he seems a little more cautious. And I think it's because of all the hits he's been taking.
I think it was surprising for me to see with Cam Newton that he's throwing the ball three more times per game this year. And he is actually throwing for more yards per game this year. Eight more yards per game than last season. It's just the touchdowns. But I also think last year, you know, watching Cam Newton, it was like, whoa, he is playing out of his mind. He's the clear MVP. And like you said, Dave, he's not, he doesn't look as good throwing the ball. Something's just amiss there.
I will say, like, and Chris talked about this earlier in the week, you look at his TD rate over his career, 4.1, 3.9, 5.1, 4.0. It's 3.8 this year. That's not that far out of line. Last year was the weird one at 7.1. His completion percentage for his career is 59%. He's at 58% basically this year. His yards per attempt fell from last year, but they're not that far from where he's been over his career.
Yeah, so, but I just thought that he broke out last year and he was going to be a consistently great quarterback.
Right. I did too. I still think he's going to be much better than he is now. He's a buy low for me.
So, would you rather have Cam Newton or, oh man, Drew Brees?
Brees.
It's tough because I feel like you have to say Matt Ryan, you have to say Brady, you have to say Rodgers, right? And you have to say Brees. Is Cam Newton number five? Is Andrew Luck number five?
I'd put Luck five.
I would take Luck over Cam right now, sure.
I think Cam is a lot closer to the Phillip Rivers, Derek Carr, Marcus Mariota group than he is the Andrew Luck group.
Hmm? Are you taking Ben over Cam too?
Yeah.
See, I don't think I'm going that far.
I think Ben is the better buy low. After the game he just had, people could freak out. They've had another quarterback on their team already because Ben missed some time. That's the guy that I think you can trade for much cheaper. Because the guy that took Cam Newton in your league, I don't know if he's going to be so willing to give up on him for a low price. Remember, for a lot of people, Cam Newton was a top 20 pick. He wasn't for us, but he was for a lot of people. Some people took him in the first round. So people think that he's just too valuable to give up for... I don't know. I'll look at the trade chart. I'll give you somebody who I think is equal value. Jordan Reed.
I think that's fair.
Mark Ingram. Jonathan Stewart.
I got a Mark Ingram offer, and you know, I kind of like Jordy Nelson, so I give up Jordy Nelson to get Mark Ingram.
No, I'd keep Jordy.
Yeah, I am. I'd have trouble with Ingram. I just don't know. The whole Hightower thing is really confusing, and also, I don't like buying high after the worst run defense of all time. You know, he tore them up. It's like,
right.
Oh yeah, Dennis Pitt is great because he had that game against Cleveland. He's been garbage ever since. You know, it would be like buying on Jason Witten right now. So when a running back goes off against Tampa Bay or against San Francisco, it's not so good. But I don't know what to do about Ingram. He's kind of interesting. Is he buy, sell, or hold kind of guy for you, Mark Ingram?
Hold.
Yeah, 100% a hold. Because you can't buy him for cheap because the guy that has him is going to say, look, he just had this monster game. He's back. So he's not going to sell him low.
Would you rather have, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were done. Would you rather have Mark Ingram or Doug Martin?
Ingram,
because he's playing.
Yeah,
exactly.
You don't know when Martin's going to get back on the field.
That is frustrating because when do you think Doug Martin will get back on the field?
Not this week.
2017 is a lock.
and Dirk Cutter's talking about getting a bunch of running backs back. He thinks Charles Sims can come back this year and Quiz too.
So well, even Sims is locked back, into what, week 12 or week 13, whatever.
Right, because of the IR.
So when did he go on IR?
Week 4? Check. Was it that early? Maybe.
I was thinking 6, but I don't.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, Rodgers had Jacquizz Rodgers had the game week 7 and week 8. Their bye was week 9, correct? No, their bye was week 8. So week 6, week 7. I think it was week 5 he got hurt.
Charles Sims got hurt in week 4, did not play in week 5. Don't know if he went on IR in week 5, but he did not play in week 5. Let's move on and talk about the news and the notes. Jerry Jones. You guys familiar with him, Jerry Jones? He says that Dallas is going to play the quarterback situation by ear. Do you think Tony Romo has a chance?
No.
Chance? Sure. I totally believe they're playing it by ear.
To play when?
Not this week.
He'll play when Dak Prescott gets hurt.
I think.
Oh, I think if he struggles at any point when Romo's ready, Jerry will pull the trigger.
If Pittsburgh, how many games? If you guys are right, Pittsburgh blows their doors off and Dak looks terrible, Romo starts next week.
If he didn't bounce back from the game 2 weeks ago against Philadelphia, and then play the way he did last week, the seat would be a lot warmer.
And I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist, so I think that Tony Romo's ready. I just don't think he's going to be fully cleared until Dak has a bad game and they want to start him.
He's ready in the sense that Roethlisberger was ready last week. Like, if he needed to start today, he would start today.
Right.
Probably not 100%.
They don't need to start him today.
Right.
No, but if they get blasted by Pittsburgh and he falls all over himself, which he's yet to do.
Right.
Jerry will pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. So it's worth monitoring there. Spencer Ware.
I'll just give you an example. I had Stafford and Prescott. I dropped Stafford 2 weeks ago because I wasn't going to play him and I was going to play Dak. And I forget who I picked. Maybe I picked up John Brown. My second ad, it was only one ad drop to make. My second ad was to pick up Romo. And I'm just going to handcuff the Cowboys quarterbacks the rest of the way.
Cool. Okay, Spencer Ware has a good chance to play according to Andy Reid. They're at Carolina. It's a tough matchup. If he plays, you feel good about Ware?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel okay about him because it is a difficult matchup.
Okay, Carlos Hyde not ready for contact yet, so does that mean you're not expecting Hyde to play?
Yep, correct.
Doesn't sound like it.
Okay, DeJuan Harris will be at Arizona. We will talk about that game. Ladarius Green could play this week for Pittsburgh, and they also could be getting linebacker Bud Dupree back. That could be a big deal for them. Also, their center, Marquise Pouncey, has the dislocated thumb, has not been ruled out yet. All right, I'm going to say it. You can say what you want. Should we pick up Ladarius Green?
I picked him up in our 24-team league.
Fair.
I had a bench spot. It was warm and available. I put him on there, and I'll see what happens.
This is the first time I felt like this all year. But there were a lot of tight ends that I thought could very easily be top 12 this week.
Yeah.
Like 19 or something.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So I don't know why I'm picking up Ladarius Green. There's like probably five.
For the long-term view, that's why.
Yeah.
But it's got to be in a deep league. I'm not doing it in my 12-team leagues with five bench spots.
So would you rather own Martellus Bennett, who plays on, oh, Sunday night?
Yeah, nailed it.
That was good, right?
Yes.
Or
no, nothing you sing is good.
Ladarius Green.
You are awful.
Heath is the singer on this podcast now.
You're the singer.
Oh, you're going to be singing soon, buddy.
Yeah. What am I singing? Have you picked a song yet?
No. That's the last thing I was thinking about yesterday.
Martellus Bennett or Ladarius Green?
Bennett.
Okay. Minnesota's going to stick with Blair Walsh. Hugh Jackson wants Cody Kessler to throw downfield more. They got the Thursday night game at Baltimore. Ryan Fitzpatrick expects to start against the Rams, according to ESPN. Mark Ingram and Tim Hightower, they could continue to split carries. It's not a surprise. Cam Chancellor should be able to return this week. That's pretty big. At New England on
Sunday night. Oh my god!
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, and Jacquizz Rodgers is unlikely to play. Is unlikely to play this week. I see a little smirk on Heath's face. He's mildly entertained.
Oh, I'm enjoying it. Okay. I'm enjoying. Yes, this is.
You're enjoying it.
I would rather have Adam Sings Tuesday than Team Name Tuesday.
I'm waiting for Adam to promote his karaoke appearance at the Stranger Things Juice Bar.
I haven't done karaoke in a long time. All right, just yes or no, please. This is how we're going to do it. Dave, I want you to answer since you have fun doing this and nobody else speak. Do you expect the following players? Alan Hurns against Houston.
No.
Jeremy Maclin at Carolina.
No.
Tevin Coleman at Philadelphia.
No.
Jameis Winston and Mike Evans.
Yes. Oh, yes to both.
Matt Jones.
He'll play, he'll stink.
DeSean Jackson.
Same.
James Starks at Tennessee.
No.
Hunter Henry against Miami.
No.
I've got a little surprise for you guys today.
Really?
It's a game.
Are you about to sing again?
No.
That would have been
I could
so mean. If you were like, I've got a surprise for you. And we were like, oh yeah, what is it? And then you're like, oh, Sunday night. And walk
okay,
out.
I do have a surprise. A game we haven't played in a long time. It's not the feud. Let's do some name that player.
Ooh.
And I'm going to call a favorite here. The betting odds, I'm putting Heath as the favorite to win Name That Player.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So this is all Chiefs
players. I'm terrible pretty much every game we've ever played, so that it must be somebody that I really like.
Well, no. I have three players. I'm going to give you some clues. I'm going to speak in the first person as if I
What does the winner get?
I will serenade the winner.
Okay.
So congratulations. Here we go.
Hold on, wait, let me Google players from the 80s so I won't lose.
Name this player.
Christian Okoye.
I am the number 10 wide receiver in standard scoring and number 13 in PPR. I play, this is a little election humor. I play my home games in a swing state. I have two first names. I am second in touchdowns, but 17th in targets.
Kelvin Benjamin.
No.
No, second in touchdowns.
Among wide receivers.
I was doing the two first names in swing state thing. Sorry.
Oh. That's a good guess.
Terrell Pryor.
No, I was.
Who do you know named Pryor?
I don't know. I'm thinking swing states.
I was once a top three wide receiver. I have 7 plays of 20 plus yards this year. I had 19 plays of 20 plus yards in 2014. I have 2 plays of 40 plus yards this year, but 8 plays of 40 plus yards in 2014.
Jordy Nelson.
There you go. Jordy Nelson. Heath already in the lead. 1-0. And since we're doing the buy low, sell high theme, or hold, I think I'm holding on Jordy Nelson. I was a little surprised that he is number 10 in standard, number 13 in PPR. Last 2 weeks, 94 yards both times and a touchdown. Not that bad of a schedule. I mean, actually, unfortunately, he has Seattle in week 14 and Minnesota in week 16.
I'm selling.
You're selling him?
If I can get top 10 wide receiver value, I'm selling him, yes.
What is a top 10 wide receiver? I feel like there are like 5 that we definitely want, you know, but after that, after Evans, Beckham, Green, Brown, and Julio, maybe I'm forgetting someone.
If the Amari Cooper owner must win this week, I'd trade Jordy for Amari Cooper.
Wow. That's an interesting one.
Would you do it for Crabtree?
No.
Would you do it for T.Y. Hilton? Nelson or Hilton?
Hilton.
I'm not doing it for Cooper, knowing Cooper's schedule the rest of the way. And knowing the Packers' schedule, like you said, the Seattle game is going to be tough. But
I wouldn't do it for Hilton either, because there's a small enough but potentially big sample size of Hilton and Moncrief together.
Right. Moncrief is a touchdown stealer.
All right.
Stealer.
Next
up.
But
not from Pittsburgh.
1-0 Heath.
Yes.
I am a quarterback, but I am not a top 15 quarterback. I am 6th in passing yards per game in the NFL. In fact, I'm averaging more passing yards per game this year than I did last year.
Carson Palmer.
Damn it! I was about to get to my next clue. But yes, Heath, you got it right. Carson
Palmer. Yeah!
My favorite late night talk show host was on TV before Jay Leno.
What?
Johnny Carson.
Oh, because it's Carson.
Just making you think there. So the same case I can make for Cam Newton, I can make for Carson Palmer. Like I said, more passing yards this year than last year on a per game basis. 10 touchdowns in 7 games. Now, the yards per attempt are down pretty significantly, 8.7 to 7.3. And that's almost exactly what it was in 2014. So 2015 was a huge year. But, you know, Palmer, I don't know how many people actually want Carson Palmer. People want Cam Newton. Do you think Carson Palmer is also a guy that's going to have a big second half?
I don't think people want him.
I think he'll have a better second half than his first half.
It's hard to have a worse second half.
He's going
to
play
half.
Really well this week, and then he's going to play really well in 2 weeks. And then you'll see where he's at the rest of the way.
But I'm nervous about him staying healthy. Like, he was banged up for most of the year. Seems okay now, but his offensive line isn't in good shape. And if he can't get 2 or 3 seconds to drop back, I don't know how many deep balls he's throwing.
Okay.
There are things about him that make me a little nervous.
Well, Heath has 2 electoral votes right now, and you guys have none. So I'm projecting him to win, but we have 1 more player for pride.
You can make this one worth double.
Oh, that's not fair. I already won.
Well, welcome to the world of name that player.
Make it worth CBS double, Sports. Dave? That's ridiculous. It's worth triple.
Oh.
Triple point round. Okay, I am the number 7 running back in standard scoring, number 9 in PPR. I am averaging a robust 3.8 yards per carry. I lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns.
Melvin Gordon?
No, I'm tied with Melvin Gordon. I am a Super Bowl champion. And I have played with 3 different starting quarterbacks this season.
LeGarrette Blount.
There he is. Dave with the win on the triple point round.
Na, 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 na.
Way to go. LeGarrette Blount's interesting, guys. In four games with Tom Brady, he has 18, 13, 24, and 18 carries. Pretty good. But 54 or fewer yards in four of his last five games. He is getting those short yardage touchdowns, though. Five touchdowns with Tom Brady. Three of them from 1 yard out. One from 3 yards out. One from 5 yards out. LeGarrette Blount as a top 10 running back. Do you buy that?
No.
He's just outside.
LeGarrette Blount is a top 15 running back. Do you buy that?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll take top 20 rest of the season.
He scares me a little bit. I feel like not the case with Dave and Jamie. And
the Deion Lewis factor?
Just the fact that he is very touchdown dependent. He never catches passes.
But you know what happens to them when they usually get to December is they get a little bit more conservative with their passing game. We'll see if that happens this year because Brady missed the four games. But
and I don't mind a touchdown dependent running back on a team that scores a lot of touchdowns.
That's true. That is nice. The yardage does scare me though. Four or five games with 54 or fewer yards.
I mean, you just have to know what you're dealing with going in. If you are counting on him to, you know, get you 10 plus points with just his rushing without scoring, then you're not having the right expectations for him. If you're counting on him to get you 50 to 60 total yards and hopefully find the end zone, that's the expectation with knowing that there's always a two touchdown game in his back pocket.
I'll wrap it up with this. Rank these players the rest of season. LeGarrette Blount, Latavius Murray, Matt Forte.
Murray, Blount, Forte.
Murray, Forte, Blount.
I'd take Blount ahead of them. I'd go Blount, Murray, Forte.
Is you nervous about Murray's schedule?
A little bit, but he's just as touchdown dependent and on an offense that scores a lot, and he'll catch passes, so that's nice. Forte, I'm worried about the breakdown.
Do you think, though, after what you saw last week, that you feel he's still touchdown dependent, Murray?
Yeah. Yes. I think last week was the exception and not the norm.
They just ran great. The ball so much last week. They're not. I just don't think they're going to do that as often.
I think if they had their druthers, that's what they would be.
I don't know. I think it was matchup dependent.
That's kind of what they've been in the first half of games, right? Like they've been really run heavy in the first half, and then they start throwing it when they have to.
Really? I mean, I feel like it's Derek Carr's team, and they've got two excellent wide receivers, and that's their strength.
Yeah, but their numbers don't bear that out, though.
They don't? This was a season low in pass attempts for Derek Carr. It was against the Broncos, who have the best pass defense in the league.
I'm trying to find it, but I think a lot of that throwing from Carr has come in the second half.
Certainly was against Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't have a great defense. It seems to be getting a little bit better. But, yeah, that's part of it. I mean, if they had a great defense, maybe they're ground and pound. I don't know. It's interesting. I think I probably would go Murray there, just like you, James.
What do you think their attempts per game is? Just rushing attempts per game from the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, I bet it's pretty high. Eighth.
Nope.
15th.
15th. 26.4 rush attempts per game.
He has not thrown more in the second half. That is not what even with that Tampa Bay game.
I don't know.
He's been a lot better in the second half.
Hey, I have an announcement to make. It's for all you Giants fans out there. I may see you on Monday night. I'm working on it. I am monitoring tickets for the game on SeatGeek. I have the app on my phone, and with our offer code FFT, you can save $20 on your first SeatGeek purchase. So here's how it works. I open up the app, I search for an event, SeatGeek then searches multiple ticket sites for me, gives me all of the results, and this is how you get the best prices. And then if you want to find the best bargains, you look at the seating chart and you see all these dots. Now, the greener the dot on SeatGeek, the better the value. So you can immediately see, oh, there's a great value. I should buy those tickets. And SeatGeek is just making it so simple to get to the game. So give it a shot. We have a great offer for you. Our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab. Click add a promo code. Enter the promo code FFT. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FFT. You want to do buy low, sell high or Cleveland, Baltimore?
Let's do Cleveland, Baltimore.
Let's do Cleveland, Baltimore. Week two is 25-20. Baltimore with the win on a Sunday.
Can I sell on watching this game?
Brutal.
It was 20-0 Cleveland, I believe. And then Baltimore scored 25 unanswered.
This was also the one game with Baltimore They had their worst performance against the running back. They gave up an 85-yard touchdown run to Isaiah Crowell. Other than that, Baltimore has been truly one of the best run defenses in the NFL. So we'll get to Cleveland and Isaiah Crowell. But let's start with Joe Flacco, guys. He's 14th for Dave and Jamie. He's 15th for Heath. Fourth most pass attempts in the NFL, but only 30 last week against Pittsburgh after their bye. All right, we talked about it yesterday, Cutler or Flacco. So where did you guys fall on that?
I've got Flacco one spot ahead of Cutler.
I just feel more comfortable with Cutler.
I do too.
They're both in the same situation, though. They both have not been good this year. They both have great matchups. You're kind of hoping that they have the chance to play well here and take advantage of the situation. I think if it was Sunday, Adam, you alluded to this a few weeks ago when you were talking about this game coming up for Flacco. If this was a Sunday game, you feel a little bit more comfortable about it because of what we have seen historically Thursday night.
It just has so completely disappeared this year.
For the most part.
Yeah.
But there's still been some, you know, rare occurrences right. where we've seen teams that aren't necessarily good, you know,
right.
or just players that aren't necessarily good underperform on Thursday. And I think has the chance to be one of them. There's just always something about Flacco, you know, from the fantasy perspective that when we think he's going to play well, he disappoints us. And when we think he's going to be, you know, bad, he tends to play well. He just hasn't been a good fantasy quarterback this year, you know, and he's had some games where the matchups were good and he didn't take advantage of it. So I think he'll be around 20. I don't think he's going to, you know, fall on his face and be awful, but I don't think he's going to be 25 plus. I don't think he's going to be one of the better quarterbacks this week.
So. I don't think he's got the upside Cutler has when you look at the matchup for Cutler. And between the Bears and the Ravens, which team has the better running matchup? The Ravens running backs or the Bears running backs?
The Ravens running backs.
Right.
I also,
that could also take the ball out of Flacco's hands.
Right. I also think there's a chance that in terms of Cutler's case, that game could be a little bit more high scoring than it's projected to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree. Because of how Tampa Bay's offense has been playing. And so I think in terms of this game, if Baltimore gets a lead with how banged up their defense has been over the course of the season, that they're just getting guys back healthy on a short week, that they may just, let's just run, time of possession, kill the clock, get
they're
out of here.
Dying
get
to
a
get
win.
That run game going too.
Okay. Flacco or Cousins against Minnesota?
That's easy. You take
Flacco.
You take
I'd go Flacco. With Flacco. Yeah.
Flacco or Russell Wilson at New England?
Wilson.
Okay. That's close.
All right. To the running backs here. Start or sit Terrence West. In his last two games, he has 23 carries for 31 yards.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Must start.
Cleveland's allowed 7 rushing touchdowns in their last 3 games. So how do you feel about Terrence West?
Well, you just said Cleveland's allowed a ton
Top
of rushing
10?
Touchdowns.
Top 10.
You've got to figure he scores and he gets more work. And I just said that the Ravens want to get their run game going. Think about all their offensive coordinator change was based on we're not running it enough. So they change offensive coordinators, and then they can't run effectively. So my guess is that the offensive line had a knock-the-rust-off game of their own against Pittsburgh. I think the Steelers, when they're healthy,
good run defense.
Are tough to run against. I agree. When Jay Ajayi ran against them, they were banged up. Now they're pretty good. The Browns are not pretty good. And I think this is a good opportunity for the Ravens to, you know, hat on a hat with the offensive line and let Terrence West do his thing.
Wow. Okay. You know, all right, I'll let it go. I was good. Top 10 running back, start Terrence West. You guys have him ahead of Devontae Booker, huh?
Yeah, I mean, if Booker...
By one spot for me.
If Booker was coming off a good game against the Saints, I'd feel a little bit more comfortable about it, but there's some uncertainty there. I think West is just in a good situation. At home, against Cleveland, they're just not good.
Should get plenty of opportunities.
Does Kenneth
Jamie Collins looked disinterested last week in his first game there.
Does Kenneth Dixon have a role, though?
I would think so, and I think, you know, if you're stuck this week, you could maybe fire him up as a flex, but I wonder just how healthy he is with the, you know, chest contusion that he dealt with that forced him out of the game last week. He just doesn't seem, this just seems like, you know, maybe he comes on late at the end of the year, but this could be just a lost year for him.
Rank the wide receivers in this game.
Standard or PPR?
Let's do standard.
Pryor, Wallace, Smith, Coleman.
Yep. In PPR, I'd put Smith ahead of Wallace.
Really? Okay, so Pryor...
I wouldn't. I'd stick with Wallace.
Pryor, Wallace, Smith, Coleman, or Pryor, Smith, Wallace, Coleman, depending on standard or PPR, depending on which analyst you're listening to. So Pryor is a must-start this week?
I think he's still safe for 10-plus fantasy points. I don't love that he's going up against Jimmy Smith, which is what I would assume the. You know what? The Ravens won't do that. They're going to play Jimmy Smith to one side, and they're. I'm not sure who they're going with at the other corner. I don't think it's Sharice Wright these days.
That's who Coleman torched the first time.
Right.
Yeah, Coleman had two touchdowns in the first game, but then that was before Pryor really broke out. And Mike Wallace, is he, you know, kind of a must start this week? Would you start Mike Wallace or Davante Adams?
Adams. I've got Wallace 27th at wide receiver, which I think is the low man, but yeah, Jamie's 26th.
Okay. Would you start Mike Wallace or Jamison Crowder?
Wallace.
Would you start Steve Smith or Jamison Crowder?
Smith. I don't want any part of Washington this week, outside of Reed.
Doug Baldwin or Mike Wallace?
Baldwin.
Wallace.
I think Baldwin will have success because he lines up in the slot a lot, and that's the only really weakness the Patriots' pass defense has shown.
He's just been so bad.
Okay.
He wasn't really bad last week, though.
When's Ballas? The last time I got 10 fantasy points from him?
Ballas?
Please don't say Ballas. That's just very strange. I'll say it for you.
Baldwin.
All right, last one. Steve Smith or Todd Gurley?
Smith in a PPR.
I'll go Gurley.
It's so funny that this is where we are.
Right?
I really do not love Gurley's matchup.
Oh, I don't either.
I'm worried that Todd Bowles is going to try and fire up that defensive line and make him work a little harder.
You don't have to worry about that. They're good no matter what. It's just impenetrable.
A couple of them are good. On paper, they should be great.
Right, on paper, they should be dominant.
All right, so that's mostly it. Dennis Pitta and Gary Barnage are not starting Gary Barnage. Baltimore allows the second fewest fantasy points to tight ends. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped over the Cleveland running backs. Baltimore, fewest fantasy points allowed to running backs, 3.4 yards per carry to running backs. And other than that, I mean, Isaiah Crowell, 85-yard touchdown run in week two. Since week two, Matt Forte is the only running back with more than 6 fantasy points in standard leagues against Baltimore. That includes Le'Veon Bell last week. So how do you feel about it? It is a Thursday, though. How do you feel about Crowell?
I am too high. Sit him this week.
Yeah, he might be a flex in a deep league just because it's 4 teams on a bye, but I don't want any part of him.
Where do you rank him with Kristen Michael, TJ Yeldon, Tim Hightower, Chris Ivory?
Behind Ivory, in the same conversation with Michael. Who's the other guy you said?
I've got him behind Michael, too.
Yeldon.
I've got him ahead of Yeldon.
I like that he was catching passes.
Play him over Michael just because I want no part of Kristen Michael at this point.
Yeah. That's how I feel.
But Yeldon is interesting. And I know where I have James White. I'm going to put James White ahead of him, ahead of Crowell and Michael.
Yeah. I have Crowell 22nd.
Would you start Capri Bibbs or DeJuan Harris over Crowell?
No.
They're all kind of in the same situation. Bibbs, you just don't know, but Harris is facing the Cardinals. I mean, there's, you know, just similar upside, similar downside for both.
Quick thoughts on Duke Johnson.
You kind of know what he is at this point. He's, you know, potential flex, maybe low end starter in PPR and standard, just doesn't score touchdowns.
I'd still start him over Crowell in PPR.
Yes.
Dennis Pitta or Martellus Bennett?
Pitta.
I think you play the matchup.
I mean, Jason Witten just looked like he was 20 years old last week.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. Dennis Pitta or...
And that's his best game was against the Browns for Pitta.
Cameron Brate or Dennis Pitta?
Brate.
Pitta.
Pitta, and Brate there. And finally... Oh, wow. Dennis Pitta or Greg Olsen in the toughest matchup for tight ends ever, Kansas City.
Olson.
Jamie says Pitta, and Deeth say Olson. Okay, buy low, sell high. Here we go. I'm throwing it over to you guys. We got about 10 minutes for this. Hit me with it. Who you want to buy low on? Who you want to sell high? Let's start with the buy lows.
I would like to buy low on Tevin Coleman.
Okay.
Because I think people have not seen him for the past couple of weeks, and maybe they've forgotten about how productive he's been. And Devontae Freeman has had an opportunity the past couple of weeks to try and wrest away that rushing workload from it being a timeshare. And I don't think he's done it. I think he struggled at the goal line. And I think Tevin Coleman's going to come back when he comes back to, at the very least, the same type of opportunity he had before he got hurt.
I would like.
It will be exactly the same thing. Nothing's going to change.
But I would like
the chance was there for it to change.
Because
Devontae Freeman. No, if Freeman had done great, they would have. They
weren't
going to
bring Tevin Coleman back and say you're sitting on the bench.
No, but
they're not bringing
him
back, and not bringing him back because Freeman may not have scored a couple touchdowns to say Freeman's on the bench. They're going to go back to the exact same situation.
But the point is that they're going back to that exact same situation because Devontae Freeman didn't earn anything else.
But I don't think if Freeman had these monster games,
I think he would have. This has been a team that's been hot hand.
No, they like Coleman all season long. There's no way they would have just said to him, "You're sitting on the bench because Devontae Freeman did X, Y, or Z." They know what happened last year. They're well aware of why Freeman couldn't handle the entire workload and struggled down the stretch. So it was going to be a
shared
situation.
But the bottom line is that he didn't.
You're right on buying low on him because exactly what you said, people are forgetting about it. But I don't think Tevin Coleman's coming back and all of a sudden it's his job and Devontae Freeman's losing touches.
No, not without Freeman getting hurt or absolutely stinking.
Yes.
I will buy. I think you have just a very small window left to buy low on Alshon Jeffrey. We saw him finally score his first touchdown in Cutler's first game back. He should have had a much better game than that, had another almost touchdown. He's going up against Vernon Hargraves, and fun stats on those two. Alshon's one of only two receivers this year with at least 500 receiving yards and only one touchdown. Hargraves is the only corner in football that's given up over 500 receiving yards and one touchdown.
They probably faced off in college, too.
I don't know. I think Alshon's
Alshon
been in the league.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Who else? Any other candidates there? I do have one, but Jamie, you didn't give any if you'd like to.
I just have one in my head. Where did it go?
It's in your head.
Oh, Dez. I think if Romo does come back, you'll start to see a big uptick in production from him.
What if Romo doesn't come back?
Romo will be back. He just got medically cleared to return. So
wow.
It's only a matter of time.
I would be so surprised if Romo came back.
Do you think the Cowboys, as great as Dak has played, do you think that they view Prescott as someone who can go on the road in the playoffs and win them a playoff game?
That's an interesting question.
Because they're going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Barring a total collapse.
They might have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They're in the one seed right now in the NFC. So they might not have that problem to consider.
I think this game makes so much difference.
Yeah.
But we've said that with the last few games.
Right.
But this is a tough one.
The Philly game, he played poorly until he rallied at the end.
Right.
And that was the first time that Romo's been practicing. So you wonder if, like, Pete Prisco talked about this. I had a conversation with him. He's like, you wonder if, like, he's starting to feel the pressure a little bit. Now he's able to play free against Cleveland because Cleveland's
Sorry, Jamie. I don't want to interrupt you, but I just want to say Pete Prisco has been on the Romo train. Because I listen to the Roughing the Passer podcast.
100%. He's definitely in the
And
Romo
I just – I actually am very interested in this conversation, so I apologize. And I know yesterday I talked about mushrooms and vegetables and stuff. I just want to get some more names out there because we're almost out of time. So sorry about that. You
yes,
say
okay.
Dez Bryant. Yep. Okay. I think Tyrell Williams. Do you guys think Tyrell Williams is the number one wide receiver for San Diego? And here's my case for him. I'll let you answer. But last five games, three huge games. And two terrible games. The two terrible games were against Denver. But he's been really awesome when he hasn't been playing Denver. I think he has become the number one guy in San Diego. We talked about how good their schedule is going forward. I mean, after Miami, then a bye at Houston could be tough. Miami isn't. Tampa Bay at Carolina. Oakland at Cleveland. That's their last four games.
Yeah, we've loved this schedule for a long time.
And week 17 is Kansas City. But I just feel like Tyrell Williams is 79% owned. I'm not sure he's viewed as the number one wide receiver for San Diego. I think he should be, and I think he could have a really big finish.
I love adding him or trading for him if your receiver depth is thin. Or if you've got Kelvin Benjamin, Brandon Marshall, you know, guys that you've been starting week in and week out, and they're just not giving you what you want.
But would you trade those guys for him?
I don't think I would trade them straight up.
I don't think you have to. I don't think.
What if you get Tyrell Williams and another player for Kelvin Benjamin or Brandon Marshall, and you sell on the name value of those guys?
I don't think the casual fantasy owner understands, and maybe I'm wrong about his role, but I don't think the casual fantasy owner understands his role in the offense, how well he's been playing, and the schedule coming up. So the fact that he's 79% owned Tyrell Williams means that you don't have to even consider giving up a guy like Kelvin Benjamin for him. I mean, I would give up Mike Wallace for him.
Well, I don't know if you're going to make that deal happen. I don't know if people are going to give up.
He's 79% owned. I think Mike Wallace is like 95% owned.
Yeah, but still, I think people that are aware of Tyrell Williams and what he's done aren't going to give him away.
Mike Wallace is 91% owned. I guess my point is, because he had those two bad games against Denver, I don't think that people are properly valuing Tyrell Williams, and I'm not sure if you answered this, but do you think he is the true number one wide receiver for that team?
Yes, especially now with no Keenan Allen, Travis Benjamin's dealing with the sprained PCL. It's very clear that just how things are falling apart for around Rivers, that's the one reliable guy you can lean on. And as you said, his production speaks to that when he's not playing Denver in that elite secondary. And to, again, reference Prisco, what was it, Dave, like 2-3 weeks ago? I don't know if you were part of the conversation, but Pete said that there was some buzz around the league that he is a future star.
There. Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot to like about Tyrell Williams long term, you know, if you're in a keeper league or whatnot, because or dynasty league for sure. But, you know, keeper league, if you're looking at, you know, maybe you keep four or five guys and he was probably a free agent pickup for you. So he's not going to cost you anything. So, yeah, there's a lot of upside for him moving forward, especially with how their team has, you know, sort of shaken out.
Big guy who can line up inside or outside, leads the Chargers in targets, receiving yards, receiving average. And is tied for the team lead, I believe. He is second. He's tied for second in the team lead for receiving touchdowns.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if he's better than Demaryius Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins rest of the season. In fact, I would almost expect it.
Wow.
I mean, I don't think you can argue with that. It wouldn't surprise me. He's been better than both of them already. And expecting it is another story, but, you know. Like, I have Demaryius Thomas in a league. I might offer Demaryius Thomas and somebody for Tyrell Williams and a running back upgrade.
Yeah. Thinking that you're, well, yeah, I mean, you need Thomas to have a big game for that to happen to get the running back in return that you want. But someone would probably look at that and say, yes, and you better do it soon, because if Williams has the game that I think he's going to have this week against Miami,
yeah,
you're not going to be able to, that window's going to close.
Exactly. Okay, so sell highs.
That's great. Buy low candidate.
My favorite sell high is Kristen Michael, and you can even dump the high from that. I would
just sell him.
I would just trade him for the best offer you can get. Unless you've got Rawls. If you have Rawls and Kristen Michael, then
don't you feel like that's just a headache coming? Backfield.
No,
I mean, I have that.
I really don't. I think it's going to end up being Rawls.
I hope so. I hope that there's clarity.
I'm reading the coaches.
I mean, as much as I have, you know, shares of Kristen Michael, I'd rather have clarity. But I think it's going to be a headache. Maybe for the first couple weeks. I just wonder how much work they're going to throw at Rawls right away.
Anybody else that you want to sell high on? I find this to be harder than the buy lows.
I still think, you know, I mean, and he's fantastic, and I really do believe in the offensive line, but JGI.
Really?
Well, you could probably get amazing return from him at this point. And so, just looking at it, they're, you know, back-to-back games on the road.
Okay, wait, hold on. Before we get into that, we talked about this on Monday. I think Heath and I both thought this way, maybe Chris didn't, that Jay Ajayi, if we were drafting today in a 12-team league, would be a first-round pick.
He's there.
So how are you selling high on him? You'd have to.
Well, I think, again, it just depends on what your team looks like, you know, because you probably either drafted him really late or you picked him up off waivers after he was cut. And so if you have a good enough situation that you could trade him for one of the upper echelon receivers, the same conversation we had when he first had this, you know, two straight games before their bye week. Mm-hmm. That if you can get Mike Evans or AJ Green or Antonio Brown or one of these guys for somebody that's running back needy, and it's a very small situation that may occur.
You got to get an elite guy.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. You got to get an elite guy. But I just think that, look, this guy's still playing bone on bone on his knee, and so he's got a lot of work. At some point, there could be an injury occurred. That's why I keep saying, if you get the opportunity, you have an open bench spot, stash Damian Williams, just in case. I don't think Ajayi is going to struggle barring injury, but I also think that we've seen now. You saw the first down game somewhat, 200 yards to 100 yards. You know, at what point does it go
to... It's hard to say that that's a down
game. Of course not, but it's...
Against the Jets?
It's lower production. I'm just saying, at some point, there could be a stinker along the way, and then what happens the following week? This is who their identity is. Their offensive line is amazing. But if you can get a King's ransom in return for him, try and chop him while you can.
I don't know that this will be popular or not, but I don't really see Ty Montgomery and this role that he's got. I don't know that it lasts in December. And so if I could get a, like, if somebody's viewing him as a borderline number one wide receiver because of his running back to and his catches and all this stuff, I would absolutely sell Ty Montgomery.
Yep. I think that's a good call, yep. too.
By the way.
Now, what if he's running back eligible in your league, though? Right. Feel the same way?
Probably not. Unless yeah. somebody's viewing him as a borderline number one running back. And, then, yes.
and about that, you know, Jamie asked, he's a commissioner of a lot of our leagues, and he asked everybody in the league, do you want me to make Ty Montgomery running back eligible? And I followed suit in our podcast league. We did a poll. So you can do that on CBSSports.com. You know, you can leave it up to your league, which I think is the best way to do it. And
did it pass in any league?
Not in the podcast
league.
Passed
in two of mine, but the interesting thing about it, they're both keeper leagues. And so I phrase it the same way in every message that I sent out. But for those leagues specifically, this is now the precedent moving forward.
So with that in mind, but not for tight ends playing receiver.
No, it's got to be this type of situation.
It's got to be a receiver playing running back.
But he is really converting to a running back. It is a little bit more than just a receiver playing running back. But the thing is, people said no, mostly in the podcast, like the ones that responded. And one of the responses I got was, if I had known this, it would have affected my fab bidding. And I can understand that. So I think it's the best way to do it. You know, I know some websites are just universally making that decision for all leagues. I think let your own league decide. And you can have your commissioner do that. And our leagues mostly voted no on it.
Right.
All right, guys, this has been fun. So let's finish off with some emails and tweets from Kyle, PPR League. Who would you want, Hopkins or Allen Robinson, rest of season?
I'll still say Hopkins.
I think I'm going to go Robinson.
It's interesting because I think the schedule sets up a little bit better for Hopkins. And I wonder how hurt how hurt Will Fuller really is. Because if he's out, like this week, I think Hopkins is going to get force-fed targets.
Like I know that I hate Blake Bortles, but Allen Robinson's got a better quarterback.
He does.
Yeah, tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk about Allen Robinson's schedule coming up. It's very interesting. It's got three of the best teams. I think the three best teams against fantasy wide receivers. Four times. He plays one of them twice. So we'll get to that tomorrow. I don't like being totally a wacko. So I need to know, when I said that I wouldn't be surprised that Tyrell Williams could outperform Demaryius and DeAndre Hopkins the rest of the season, like, was I crazy?
When you said I wouldn't be surprised, you were not crazy. When you said, in fact, I expect it.
I kind of expect it.
Then you were crazy.
I don't think it's that crazy. Like, these guys are being held back by terrible quarterbacks.
I think Hopkins can outperform him. Maybe you've got a chance with Demaryius.
If I were the Tyrell Williams owner and somebody offered me Demaryius or Hopkins, I would probably pull the trigger and take either one. But I just wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't. Because like I said, he's been better than them so far. All right. Thank you. Victor. A guy in our league with the biggest mouth is a Cowboys fan. He also has Cowboys on his team. I say Adam should jump on the Cowboys bandwagon.
Fair.
Should I be like a gun for hire here?
Again, if you do this on purpose, it won't work.
That's true. And I like I said, I would never do the NFC East. But the Raiders fans are pissed at me, so I probably won't do them either. All right. Mike from the Island of Misfit Running Backs. He says, hey, Adrian, Jamal, CJ, and Eddie. We know who they are. I have a dilemma. I have been waiting on Carlos Hyde and Doug Martin. I also have LeSean McCoy, who's on a bye. I have Jeremy Hill and Devontae Booker, but I could get Bibbs, Barber, Starks, Kelly, Hillman, Dixon, Procise, Rawls, McKinnon, Jones, and Deion Lewis. Should I drop Martin or Booker for any of those guys?
You can't trade off Hyde or Martin. Like, this is one of the things that just baffles me in fantasy, is that you can't find a way to open up a roster spot to go pick up one of those guys.
Sometimes, Dave, you know?
I would not. I can't. I don't know.
Well, who would be the one you'd want the most that's on his waiver wire? Would it be Deion Lewis? Would it be Thomas Rawls? Would it be...
See, the thing is, he needs a starter this week, though, right?
Yeah.
Well, but he's not talking about dropping Hill or Booker. I think those are going to be the starters.
He's going to start them. I don't think I could do this, guys.
If I knew that Doug Martin was definitely going to miss a couple more weeks, then maybe you could get away with it. Same thing with Hyde. If you knew that it didn't look good for them. But we don't know. We think it's a week-to-week thing for both. And Hyde technically still has a chance this week.
Okay. Josh from Connecticut. Dear Chris, Anthony, Javier, and Addison.
Aren't those Cubs?
Yep.
Infielders, specifically. Grade the trades. 10-team standard scoring. Give up Jordy Nelson. Get Latavius and Mike Wallace.
I'd rather
have Jordy.
Yeah, I would too. I don't think that's enough.
And he says, peace, love, and happiness. Good message. Thank you, Josh. And finally, let's go to Tyler from Iowa City. Would you rather have Cam Newton or Marcus Mariota rest of season?
I have them both in one league.
And you should be happy that you have both.
I struggle each week figuring out which one to start.
How many weeks have you guessed right?
Well, Cam had his bye week and was hurt, so.
So it's been easy. But like last week,
I chose poorly.
I'll still take Cam rest of year.
Oh my gosh, I wish I still had it.
I'm so close to saying Mariota.
Oh, sorry.
If Cam gets right, he's going to be better than Mariota.
I wish I still had the email, but the fantasy journalist who sends the fake automated emails out about what happened in your league absolutely destroyed Jamie for benching. Who would you bench for Quincy Enunwa?
Diggs.
Stephon Diggs or Quincy Enunwa, which cost him.
And I told you that was a decision that I struggled with Sunday morning.
Yeah, it was so funny. He was so mean to you. I'm sorry, Jamie. Didn't want it to be like that.
It's okay.
But I kind of did, because I won. All right, thanks, everybody. Thank you for listening.
You know what I have in that league? You know who else I benched?
Who?
The greatest receiver of all time.
Who's that?
Harold Williams.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for doing that. We both made some bad decisions. That was my drop Kaepernick for Tannehill league.
I'm sorry, I dropped a giant in that league.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people dropped a giant. That's it. Talk to you tomorrow. AFC home games, rankings disputes, fun times, had by all. See ya.
Bye.